might have to miss this coming Sunday, so that's why we're having service tonight. Almost feels like a revival type service, amen?
Amen.
Have your Bibles, Acts chapter 28. Acts chapter 28. Thank you for being faithful to God's house. Amen. Thank you for being faithful to God's house. Very familiar scripture for anybody that's been in church for any amount of time. But most of us know the story of happens in the first part of Acts chapter 28. When you get there, let's stand. We're going to read the first 10 verses. Acts chapter 28, verse 1. So your faith is turning, so I'm going to hold on. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire, and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. Let's pray. God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to be in your house, God, to be with your people, to open up your word, dear God, to hear your song sung, God. Thank you for just each and every one that's come this way. God, help us right now, God, as we try to preach this. God, move me out of the way. You bless each one in this building, God, under the sound of my voice. Give us courage, God, and whatever we're doing, we'll praise and we'll honor and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In Acts chapter 27, Paul is a prisoner. Paul is put on a vessel, a ship, and they set sail. Even though Paul had admonished them and told them not to sail, Paul had told them God had already intervened and showed Paul that it was not going to be a good journey. So they set sail anyway, and they come on, and the Bible calls it a Euroclodon storm. Well, I guess Paul, you and I could say that it would be something in a smaller scale of what we know as a hurricane. The ship is tossed, and the Bible said that it's so bad that they just had to let it go and let it go where they wanted to go. They couldn't control it. The Bible talks about how they were ropes tied around the ship, that they had to tighten it up to try to save the ship. The Bible says they threw off everything that was not necessary.
Wow.
And then after about 14 days, the Bible said that God come to Paul, and God tells Paul everything's going to be all right. You're going to make it. But they've got to do exactly what you say. And Paul tells the people on the ship what's going to happen. And to make a long story short, they come to a place, the Bible says, where two seas met, and they run the ship aground, and the back end was still in the water, and all the people jumped off, and everybody made it safe to the shore. And that's where we pick up in chapter 28. You'd think that the Lord would look down and say, "Paul, you've been doing nothing."
Wow.
You ever wish God would look down and say, "You've been doing nothing"?
Amen.
Come on. But it seems like sometimes, even after the battle, even after the shipwreck, even after the hard times, things still happen. Amen. And we find it, I thought as I was studying, some things attach themselves after the storm, but they don't get to define who you are. Come on.
Amen.
We find in this passage of scripture, Paul, if they make it there, and the Bible says they're barbarous people, that does not mean that they're mean or anything. That just means that they do not know their culture. This was a friendly people. The Bible says they kindled a fire for them. They're trying to help them get warm. Paul is out. Paul goes out, gathers some sticks, and Paul comes back and puts the sticks on the fire. And when Paul puts the sticks on the fire, the venomous beast, some kind of a snake, reaches, comes out of the fire and attaches itself to Paul's hand. In other words, it puts the fangs into Paul's hand. It puts the poison into Paul's hand. Paul should have died. And the Bible says when they looked and looked and looked after a great while and Paul didn't die, come on. Now let me just tell you a little side note right here. Y'all got me real good. I ain't one of them preachers that believe in having snakes.
Amen.
Amen. I believe with all my heart, if something like this happens and a snake bites you, I believe I got a God in heaven that can touch my body and touch us and heal us and that we can feel no harm. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. But I ain't going to go out and pick one up.
Amen.
Amen.
And I don't believe you ought to either. What we find is that Paul survived that storm. He survived the shipwreck. He survived being cast into the sea. Then he gets bit by a snake. Just because the storm is over, don't mean the attack is over.
Right.
See, the problem is a lot of times, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, the problem is a lot of times we come in and we testify, Brother Ed, and we say, I just made it through the hardest time of my life, and you're unprepared for what the devil's getting ready to throw at you next. We need to keep our guard up at all times, amen. I want to preach just a little while on just shake it off. That's the title of the message, shake it off. So what do you do when the snake's on you? You got to shake it off. Sometimes the bite comes after the breakthrough. Understand that Paul had made it off the ship. Paul had made it to the shore. Paul had got help from these people. Then this bite was rising. Sometimes the enemy will attack you after you survive what should have killed you.
Amen.
Amen.
And like I said, if we're not careful, we're unprepared. We let our guard down. Have you ever noticed when you let your guard down, that's when the devil really comes?
Yes.
When you let your guard down, when you don't read your Bible like you're supposed to,
amen.
When you're not coming to church like you're supposed to, that's when we let our guard down. We kind of lax into things. I'm just going to be honest with you. A lot of times, and y'all know I'm a trooper, a lot of times when police officers get hurt, it's because they let their guard down.
Amen.
I've done it so many times. I've stopped hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cars before and ain't nothing happened. But guess what? The Lord brought me through so much. The Lord brought me through. The Lord brought me through. The Lord brought me through. And then all of a sudden, the devil gets you. Folks, I'm just telling you. Sometimes the bite comes after a breakthrough.
Right.
Paul had made it this far. I read something one time about being prepared. We're told when John Huss was arrested and informed that he would be burned to death for his faith, he purposely practiced holding his hand over a fire to prepare for his final test. He burned himself in preparation. He wanted to be faithful to the end.
Amen.
Wow. Prepare to be burned. Folks, we need to prepare. When you wake up in the morning, yes, we need to wake up in the morning and thank God for all that He does for us. Yes, we need to wake up in the morning and see the beautiful sunshine. Yes, we need to wake up in the morning and read our Bibles and have prayer time. But you need to wake up in the morning and gird yourself because there's an enemy out there that wants to destroy you.
Right.
The attack came while Paul was serving. We read the Bible in verse 3, and when Paul gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his head. Paul was not sinning. Paul was not sleeping. Paul was not backsliding. Paul was not shirking his duties. Paul was serving. Paul was doing what he was supposed to do. sometimes the best you can do. When you study the book of Job, the Bible says that Job went out every morning and offered sacrifices. The Bible went out. Job went out every morning and prayed and done what he was supposed to. The day the Bible called him a perfect man. Now, I realize we know that's not perfect as far as his soul, but the Bible, he was doing all he could do. And the enemy still came.
Amen.
Ain't it amazing how some of us as Christians, we wonder why the enemy's fighting us, and my Lord, you ain't doing all you can do.
Bless you.
Let's just be honest. But sometimes when you're doing all you can do, when you pay any tithes, and you come into Sunday school, and you're being faithful, and you're witnessing, guess what? That's the one the enemy's after. The enemy ain't worried about that one sitting on the church pew and ain't doing nothing. That's the one the enemy's after. You can do the right thing and still get bit. You can be in the right place and still get bit. You can be serving God, and when that don't make you immune, that actually puts a target on your chest. When you're doing everything you can do, that's the one the devil is after right there. How many of us realize we have an enemy?
Amen.
The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's the cunning devices of the devil. In other words, the devil ain't going to come at you with a red cape and a pitchfork. He's going to come. He's going to try to ease in the sideways. He's going to try to come in behind. You've got to be careful of the cunning devices. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand.
Yeah.
When you leave this church, guess what? There's going to be an enemy. And he's going to do his very best. See, the thing about it is, before you got saved, Satan had you. See, some of us, if we ain't careful, we forget where God brought us from. But before you got saved, Satan had you. And when you got saved and started trying to live right, he wants you back.
That's right.
And he's going to do everything he can to get you back. He's going to do everything he can to pull you down. He's going to do everything he can. You've got a target on you. Hey, and he's not aiming at you. He's trying to destroy Jesus, and he's trying to hurt Jesus. That's why he's trying to take you down. Listen to this. The enemy meant to stop Paul. Can you imagine the devil looking down and the devil said, well, I locked him up. That didn't shut him up. I put him on that ship. I put him in the storm. That didn't shut him up. He was in the middle of a storm talking to God, telling everybody what they're supposed to do. Well, I'm out. The devil was there, well, I put him in the shipwreck. That didn't shut him up. Now he's on the shore of it, and he's still doing what he's supposed to do. I'm going to try one more time. Some of you have been bit. And the devil didn't do that to slow you down. He did that to stop you. If the enemy could, Kevin, he'd kill you. You listen to me. If Satan could, he would kill you. He would destroy you. The enemy is doing his very best to stop Paul. The natives knew this snake. The natives knew what this snake was. This was not no rat snake. This was not no chicken snake. I ain't picking them up either. Amen.
Amen.
I ain't picking up no snakes.
Amen.
I don't really like fake ones. Amen. But when they looked, Brother Ed, they knew what kind of snake this was. They said, he's going to die.
Come on.
He's going to die. Now, I like watching documentaries on snakes. That's on TV. I ain't got to touch them. I love watching them. And from what I understand, and some of y'all might can help me out, from what I understand, the black mamba is one of the most poisonous snakes in the world. Imagine that kind of a snake biting Paul. They're looking and saying, he's going to he's going to die. See, the devil didn't send a little copperhead that's going to make him sick. The devil sent something that was going to kill him. And Paul was trusting in the Lord. Satan said to stone thorn didn't kill him. I'm going to do everything I can to destroy this man. Everything I can. I understand. The snake don't bite you to scare you. He bites you to kill you. How many of us feel like we've been fighting the fight? It seems like the devil's winning sometimes. And if you ain't careful, you get down. And if you ain't careful, you get a little discouraged. That's when he's really going to come.
Amen.
Paul was doing what he's supposed to do. And I want you to know something. Paul didn't panic. If they'd been writing this about me, it would have said something to this effect. And a venomous beast come out of the fire and attached itself to his hand, and he had a running fit and jumped up and down and bellyached and cried and just fell out.
Amen.
Don't laugh too hard, because that's what they'd say about you too. Amen. But Paul didn't panic. Paul was prepared. Paul knew there was an enemy. I remember listening to E.B. Hill years ago. And E.B. Hill said something to this effect, Melvin. He said, you know, why is it that people come to church and they something happens and then they fall out? Why? He said, somebody asked me, why do people do that, preacher? He said, because they never really got in. See, the thing about it is, if you study your Bible, if you come to Sunday school like you're supposed to, and you study your Bible, you realize there's going to be ups and there's going to be downs, there's going to be highs and there's going to be lows, and you realize that the devil's going to fight, and you realize we're in a battle from the start to the finish. We're in a battle from the beginning to the end. When you get saved, you got that target on you, and until you die and go to heaven, that target stays on you, amen? And Paul realized, and Paul knew he had a target on him, and so when the snake came out, Paul didn't have a fit, he just shook it off.
Hey.
Somebody tonight needs to shake it off. Somebody tonight needs, you got something attaching itself to you. I don't know what it is, but somebody tonight needs to shake it off. Somebody tonight needs to get on the altar and say, God, I'm not going to let this bother me anymore. I'm not going to fight about this anymore. I'm not going to worry about this anymore. I'm not going to fret over this anymore. I'm going to shake it off tonight.
Come on, Bishop.
Yeah. You need a big explanation. You don't have to explain everything to everybody. You're just supposed to live by it. And you're supposed to handle it by it. Amen? Paul just shook it off. What should have killed him became his fuel. What should have killed him became his fuel. The fire exposed the snake. The fire destroyed the snake. But I understand something. There was the Holy Spirit on the inside of Paul that destroyed the poison.
Yeah.
That the snake got in him. The devil was doing his very best to poison each and every one of us. The devil was doing his very best to destroy each and every. And thank God, hey, just like the fire, Melvin, exposed the snake, we got a fire inside us. It's called the Holy Ghost, amen. And it will expose the snake. It will extract the poison. If you'll just let it do what it needs to do, amen. Come, Paul had something on his side. Paul let it become his fuel, amen. And when you shake things off, God changes the narrative. I'm going to say that one more time. When you shake things off, God changes the narrative. Verse 6 says this, howbeit they looked when he should have swollen and fallen down dead suddenly, but after that they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him. They changed their minds and said he was a god. First off, he was a murderer. Now he's a god. They were wrong on both accounts. He wasn't a murderer and he wasn't a god. But they changed their mind about him. Maybe tonight, when you shake something off, there's going to be some folks change their mind about you. Maybe tonight, when you shake something off, you'll say, Lord, I'm going to let you defend my reputation. notice one more thing. When you shake it off, revival breaks out. Verse 7 through 10 talks about the man that was in charge of the island. His name was Clovis. He said they received him in, lodged him there. His father got sick. Paul laid hands on him. He got healed. And then everybody on the island, that woman of healing came, and Paul laid hands on them, and they got healed. Revival broke out, and everybody's hands off. Somebody might need to shake off a habit tonight. Somebody might need to shake off some doubt tonight. Somebody might need to shake off some fear tonight. Somebody might need to shake off some discouragement tonight. Somebody might need to shake off whatever it is that you need to shake off.
Good.
We all need revival. We all need revival. See, the problem is, a lot of times we want to negotiate with the snake instead of shaking him off. I'm going to tell you something, folks. When David rolled up on the scene where Goliath was at, David did not negotiate.
Amen.
Goliath wanted to negotiate, David. Saul was all right with the negotiation, but when King David got there, the negotiation was, oh, come on, though. We're going to kill you. You're going to die. See, that ought to be your attitude tonight. I'm not negotiating with the snake. I'm not negotiating with the devil. I'm going to get on that altar and I'm going to shake it off. And I'm going to let God take care of it. Amen? What is it that you need to shake off tonight? What is it that you need to shake off tonight? Think about that for just a second. Think about it. Everybody in this building right now, don't worry about Melvin. Don't worry about Larry. Don't worry about Ralph. Worry about you. Think about what's in your life tonight that you need to shake off, that you need to get rid of, that you need to put it in the fire and let the fire of the Holy Spirit destroy it tonight. It'll come back and say something. Don't you bow your head.